number 33, Luke 23 and 33. And while you're turning, I wanted to share this with you, Luke 23 and 33. One of the early missionaries, pioneer missionaries to Africa, was a fellow by the name of Robert Moffat. He lived from 1795 to 1883. When we think of Africa and we think of the early missionaries, we usually think of David Livingstone, and that's right, but Moffat was way, way, way before David Livingstone. Now, Moffat wrote at one time about Africa, and this is what he said while he was there as a missionary. I have seen at different times the smoke of 1,000 villages whose people are without Christ, without God, and without hope in this world. Now, I didn't say he saw it all at one time, but at different times, the smoke of 1,000 villages in Africa where people are without God, without hope, without Christ. Actually, Robert Moffat sailed from Scotland area, arrived in Cape Town, South Africa, as a missionary in 1817. And David Livingstone later came to Africa and married Moffat's oldest daughter, Mary. But Livingstone was inspired. He couldn't get away from what Moffat wrote. The smoke of 1,000 villages without God, without hope, without Christ. And then David Livingstone went to Africa as well. We're preaching on the topic, the last sayings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We look in Luke and chapter number 23 here, and we find these words in verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, that's the name of the church where we worship, isn't it? Where they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superinscription also was written over him in letters in Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. You'll notice Jesus on the cross. He said at different times just a very few words. We want to look at those words that Jesus uttered from the cross. Life was ebbing away and his strength was decreasing. He didn't have much time, and he didn't give a long saying, but these sayings are rather short. You notice the first one is on forgiveness here. And so what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so the first saying we look at as Jesus is on the cross is a saying of forgiveness. Now, each one of these teaches us great lessons that are here today. By the way, I come here, it seems, about every year and appreciate the improvements that we see. Lots of things going on. Nursery and various other things. And it takes work, doesn't it? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And it's good to see and hear about a number of these improvements in the physical property. But notice this forgiveness. Notice what he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So, Jesus' saying is a saying of forgiveness. And how we need that today in this time and in this place. Let's take a look at the Bible a little bit about forgiveness. And so we turn to Ephesians here. And this is Ephesians and chapter number 4. And notice what it says here in verse number 31, Ephesians 4:31. "Let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you." And so the Bible instructs, and this is written to saved people, born-again people, converted people, the Ephesian people. It instructs us that we must be a forgiving person. Yes, if Jesus can forgive us of our sin, and the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, certainly we ought to find it in our heart to forgive somebody else that gives us a bad deal or a dirty deal or treats us in a bad way or lies about us. Yes, forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. You know, I took my first pastorate in 1952 in Washington State, and that's where I pastor now. But at any rate, through the years I've found this. Sometimes a Christian receives a bad deal, a dirty deal, and yet they have a spirit of unforgiveness, and they do themselves more harm physically and mentally and spiritually than that bad deal or dirty deal that was dealt to them in the first place. Now, we're not saying that the bad deal or the dirty deal or lying about you is right, but we have to have a spirit of forgiveness. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yes, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, said, "With malice toward none," that deep hatred in the heart. We're to get rid of that by the power of the Holy Spirit. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now let's take another look at this. And this is in the book of Hebrews. And so this is Hebrews in chapter number 12 and verse number 15. Forgiving spirit, Hebrews in 12 and 15. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." So watch out that that root of bitterness does not spring up very quickly and it troubles you. And then many are defiled because you open your mouth and you say, "Well, this fella treated me in a very, very bad way." And that's true, he did. But you have an unforgiving spirit. And so the Bible says, watch out, it springs up very, very quickly. And it's wrong. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then we go to the book of 1 John here. The little John in back of the Bible. You know, John wrote John. He wrote Revelation. And he wrote what I call the little Johns, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. They're not very long, but they're all in the Word of God. Yes, the Bible's correct. The Bible's accurate. Has no errors in it. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They also wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now notice here in verse 9, it says, 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so yes, saved people confess to the Lord their sins. They confess them by name. Hey, I got out of line. I blew my top. I got mad. And yes, we find they don't have to beg the Lord for they don't have to beg the Lord for forgiveness. If they confess, He will forgive. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so what do? We confess and we tell Him what we've done wrong. Yes, the saying of Jesus on the cross, forgiveness. What a lesson for us today. Forgiveness. Well, let's take a look at another one. And this is Luke 23 and 43. Luke 23 and 43. And this is one of salvation. Jesus on the cross. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today you'll be in glory. Today you'll be in heaven. Yes? What does the thief say, the one that's crucified with the Lord Jesus? The one that gets saved, the one that gets born again. Jesus said, yes, converted. Except ye be converted and become as little children, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so, what happens here? So very, very, very important to see. Salvation. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. How do you get there? Simply by believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The way into heaven is always the same. Repentance toward God. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is a change of mind. And when it's real and genuine, it will result in a change of action. Nobody ever gets to heaven without repentance. But repentance alone never saves. That's why the Bible says repentance toward God. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You come to Jesus. Jesus' blood cleanses you of your sin. Repentance is you're sorry for your sin. You want to turn from your sin, but you don't have that power in yourself. And you come to Jesus. Jesus saves. How important it is. Yes, we find this is a cry. Jesus' life is ebbing away. By the way, He did die. Just as dead, as dead, as dead, as dead can be. But He didn't stay dead. He rose again the third day. According to Scripture. And over 500 witnesses saw Him at one time. They had seen Him. They knew that He was alive. They knew that He died. And now He was alive again. One of the best attested facts in all of history. Not one, not two. Usually takes two to convict of a capital crime in America in the court. But over 500 saw the Lord Jesus after He rose from the dead. And so, we find this is a cry of salvation. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. How did that dying thief get to heaven? Hey, he didn't have time to join a church, did he? Didn't have time to get baptized, did he? He got there by simply faith in Jesus Christ alone. Yes, a cry of salvation. Do you know the Lord? Make your calling and election sure, the Bible says. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Make sure if you die tomorrow, you'd be absent from the body and present with the Lord, which is far better. All Scripture verses. 2 Corinthians, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Philippians, far better. Far better statement. And so Jesus' second saying here we looked at is a saying of salvation. Now let's look in the book of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. The one that was so close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter number 19. And we look here at verse number 25. Matthew 19 and 25. This is what it says here. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. I would say this is a cry of affection as Jesus is on the cross, dying for your sin and for my sin. Yes, he was interested in his mother. And you know, John here that wrote this, he does not like to blow his own horn. He puts himself on the back burner. He's the disciple that Jesus is talking about. He's the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so, Jesus says, Hey, I'm soon going to die. And yes, I'll come back to life, and he did for 40 days, but that's not long. He preached and taught for 40 days around Jerusalem, then he ascended up into heaven where he's alive right now. He ever liveth to make intercession for you. That's the Lord Jesus. But what about my mother? I love my mother. And yes, I need somebody to take care of her. Behold thy mother, he says to John. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. You know, I minister, as we heard today, senior citizen rest home. And it's sad. Some people are there, and even their own children, their own daughter, doesn't come to see them, maybe once a year or so, maybe not even that often. Their own son. Yes, Jesus was concerned. Cry of affection. Yes, John? And John did that. The request of Jesus. So you have the cry of forgiveness, you have the cry of salvation, and you have the cry of affection here. Well, let's take a look at another one here. And so we go here to Matthew and chapter number 27. Matthew and chapter number 27. The sayings of Jesus, some of the sayings on the cross here. To me, this is a cry of anguish here. Cry of terrible suffering here. Matthew 27, and we look here at verse number 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabothani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so it is, as God the Father turns his back on God the Son, because God the Father wholly cannot look on the sin that Jesus bore for you on the cross of Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, that's the Lord God Jehovah, have laid on him the iniquity, which is sin, the sin of us all. And so it's a cry of anguish here as Jesus suffers on the cross. Yes, this is what motivated the missionaries to go. The Bible says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Robert Moffat went to Africa. There's a missionary that's now in Africa, and he went back to the area where Robert Moffat worked. And the old church that Moffat built 168 years ago is still standing. Here's a picture of it. He labored there in Africa for many, many years, Robert Moffat. This is what the missionary said here. I saw the homestead where the Moffat family had lived for 40 years. I saw the first printing press on which the first African Bible had been printed. I saw the first schoolroom for the African children in the interior of the continent. I saw the garden Robert Moffat's wife Mary had planted to refresh weary travelers. I saw the irrigation ditches they had dug that stretched for almost 3 miles. I saw the stump of a tree where David Livingston had proposed marriage to Moffat's eldest daughters. The tree was down, but the stump was still standing. Yes, what motivates a person to give their life? To tell people about Jesus, to go into a foreign land. The message of redemption, the message of salvation. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Moffat, he showed his God-given vision for a ministry by building a building that would seat 800 people when he only had, at that time, 9 converts. It is not the length of time a missionary devotes to a culture that is the most important, but the performance of that vision that is left with those people after the missionary leaves. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Probably Moffat's most lasting contribution was the translation of the Bible into the language of the people. The first African translation of the Bible. Moffat spent 40 years of his life reducing the language into writing, translating the scriptures, printing the scriptures, and then teaching the converts how to read. He devoted so much of his time to this project that many times his wife would lock him out of his study so he would be forced to spend some time with his family. Yes, Moffat grew old though, and yes, we find that he had to leave. His health broke. And he had to leave Africa there. And so this is the account here. The love of the African people was shown for Robert and Mary Moffat. And they were forced by failing health to leave Africa. Their heart-wrenching departure was described by their son in the book, The Lives of Robert and Mary Moffat. As the old missionary, and this is a quote, as the old missionary and his wife came out of the door and walked to their wagon, they were beset by crowds, each one longing for one more touch of the hand and one more word. As the wagon drove away, it was followed by all who could walk. And a long, pitiful wail arose, enough to melt the hardest heart. End quote. True missionaries love, and are loved eventually in return. Robert Moffat's son-in-law, another great African missionary, David Livingston, once wrote, quote from David Livingston, God had only one son, and he was a missionary. Yes, we're thankful for the Scriptures. The Bible tells us and compels us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, let's look in the book of John here. Jesus saying from the cross here. And we come back to John and chapter number 19, John and chapter number 19 and verse number 28. John 19 and 28. Jesus on the cross. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. To me, this is a cry of exhaustion here. Yes, I thirst. And so what happened here? We find here there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And so Jesus' cry is a cry here of exhaustion. I thirst! I thirst! Who killed Jesus? You know, don't you? The Jews, of course! They said, crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! The Jews killed Jesus. Who killed Jesus? Roman nails in his hand. The Gentiles killed Jesus. Who killed Jesus? You killed him! I killed him! He died for the iniquity of us all. Yes, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, ye are healed. Your sin, my sin, put him on the cross. He died because he loved us. He died for the sin of people all over the world. Come to him, receive him. Otherwise, you end up in hell and hellfire. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Make sure you know Jesus as your Savior. So this was a cry of exhaustion here. John chapter 19 and verse 30 here. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. To me, this is a cry here of victory, a cry of consummation here. Yes, as he dies, he says, it is finished. Can't add to it. People say, well, I'll get to heaven by doing good works. But the Bible says, by grace ye are saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we don't get to heaven by doing good works. We get to heaven by trusting Jesus. After you're saved, you do good works because you love Jesus. Not to keep saved, but because you love him and you want to help other people. Ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them. We read in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 10. You know, I preach in the jails, and I have since the early 50s. But right now, I'm in the jail where I live in Colville, Washington, about 3 times every week. And there's a fella that's with me in the jail. As a matter of fact, he took me to the Spokane airport. And he's an interesting fella. He has tattoos all over his body. And he's missing some fingers here. He had a gun shot out of his hand a while ago. A very interesting fellow. He works with me in the jails. But he has spent as a prisoner in jail 20 years of his life. Not just in one jail, in several jails in the state of Washington. 20 years. But he's been clean now for 4 years. You know what they say by being clean? This is the way they talk one to another. It means he's not been on drugs. He's not been on alcohol. He's not been on tobacco, so he's been clean. But he got saved as he was in jail. And he had a lot of time to study the Bible, and he grew in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's sorry for those tattoos all over his body, and sorry for the life he's led, but he goes back into the jail now to tell people about Jesus. And he knows their language, too. He spent so many years of his life in jail. There's a difference. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Jesus said, it is finished. You know, you're on the cross there. You don't have a lot of time. And you try to lift yourself up a little bit to get a little breath, but of course you're your hands are nailed and your feet are nailed. Many times they would die because they could not get their breath. And then there's the suffering all the time. The crown of thorns on his head and blood running down his face and a neck. And they hit him and hit him and hit him again and again and again. And spit in his face and made fun of him, taunted him and all the rest. Mental suffering, physical suffering as well. That's how much he loved you on the cross of Calvary. Well, look in the book of John here. And we see that victory. As it says, he said, it is finished. Now, let's take a look at Luke for the last one. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And so we turn here to chapter number 23 and verse number 46. Luke 23 and 46 here. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It's a cry to me of contentment, a cry here of resignation. Hey, the work's been done. I commend my spirit, my life, to you, Father God, the Lord Jesus on the cross. Seven sayings. All very, very short, but all very potent with meaning. You know, there have been folks that have followed the message of the Lord Jesus again and again and again. One of those was a songwriter by the name of Charles Wesley. He had a brother, and the brother was a preacher. But Charles was the songwriter in England. Isaac Watts was also a songwriter. But Wesley, Charles Wesley, wrote over 6,000 songs, 10 times more than were written by Isaac Watts. Now you think a fellow that would write that many songs, he would be, you know, sort of up in his castle someplace and just all by himself. But that was not the case. He was on the front lines for Jesus, and he suffered many, many times. This is just a few days in his life. One day following another day, another day, another day, another day. And this is in 1 week, in 1743, Charles Wesley. A steam of ruffians. He calls them a steam. A steam of ruffians was suffered to bear me from the steps. I arose, and having given the blessing, was beaten down again. May 21, 1743. The stones flew thick, hitting the desk and the people. The stones often struck me in the face. May 25. They pressed hard to break open the door. They labored all night. And by morning, they pulled down one end of the house. May 25th. We passed the spot where the house stood on May 26th. They had not left one stone upon another. Oh yes, there was persecution. But he did not quit. And you don't need to quit either, and I don't need to quit either. Keeping on till Jesus comes. Bearing in mind what he said on the cross as he suffered and bled and died for us. This is May 27. My arm pained me a little by a blow I received. Still true to Jesus, no matter what. A lot of people reject. A lot of people hate the messengers of the Lord. A lot of people hate the Lord Jesus. But we keep on, keeping on. And we remember His sayings on the cross. And we remember also the smoke of 1,000 villages. People have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and just before we pray, and just before we sing here, somebody here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm saved. Yes, I am. I'm glad I am. But I've been dragging my feet. I've not been doing what I should for the Lord Jesus. And by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be different in my life now. Pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand? I'll see that hand. We'll remember you. We'll pray for you. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else, just while we wait, just for a moment. Hey, I've been goofing off. I'm saved, no doubt about it. If I die tomorrow, I go to heaven, but I've not been what I should be for Jesus. I've been wasting my time. I've been interested in other things. Just while we wait, just for a moment. Okay, going to pray soon. But just while we wait, maybe somebody here and you say, "Well, that's not me. I don't even know Jesus. I'm in a bad way. If I die, I'd end up in hell in hellfire. Pray for me. I might get saved." Would you just lift up your hand? I'll see that hand. We'll remember you in prayer. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we do pray for this one. I pray that Thou would help this one to, yes, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And yes, love the Lord Jesus and serve Him because He died for us. Thank Thee for this church standing these years for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we pray that Thou would continue to use them in the future as Thou hast in the past. And all of this we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now we're going to sing, and as we sing, we'll be in the front if we can help you here, if you want to come and pray, or if you want to talk with me, or my wife, or one of these other ladies. Why, we're happy to spend time with you as we sing.